Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Hey, are you looking to expand and grow your business? Are you looking for that edge, that next step up, that paradigm shift? Well, one of the best ways to get you there is through a mentor or a coach. And today's sponsor, Trevor McGregor, he is the man. He is going to get you to be laser focused, to get you onto that next level. And I know from experience dealing with Trevor, he is a master coach, peak performance coach, well over 10,000 coaching hours through clients all over the world. And he helps you achieve better health, more wealth and freedom and contribution than you ever thought possible. Have that coach that holds your feet to the fire. Go on to Trevor's website, coachwithtrevor.com. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. And there you can get a free strategy session with Trevor. And you can decide if he's the right fit for you and you're the right fit for him. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. You will not be disappointed. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. And with me, I have John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again here.
Yeah, no problem. We're here with another hump day hustle. And today, what are we going to talk about, John? We had a couple things, maybe some crowdfunding. Maybe talk about kind of, you know, we're at year end. So I also want to talk a little bit about, you know, what do we do at year end? I think we should do a lot of reflecting, and we should really start thinking a lot about 2018 and what our plans are moving forward as well. So we can talk a little bit about that and maybe some other goodies.
Yeah, definitely. You know, part of that reflection is kind of mindset. And also, what do we do for the next generation? Especially those of us who have kids, you know, how do we train them to think about the economy and business and finances and that type of stuff?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I would right now challenge everybody to actually sit down and reflect on 2017 and what went well in 2017. You know, what went well in your business? What went well personally? What went well, with your kids, with your wife, with whatever, husband, whatever it is. And then also, you know, what went bad and what can we do to change that? Because ultimately everything that happens is, or nearly everything, it is due to you. And your surroundings and what's you know, what you're doing about it. So, you know, what can we do to change things that maybe didn't go well and what went well? And I think it's a time to be grateful for everything that's happened in the year. Because if you really reflect and look back, it's like, wow, you know, there was a lot of things that happened in 2017. And how can we step then forward into 2018 and make 2018 even better and crush 2018, learn from any mistakes that we made in 2017. So that's what I would challenge everybody to do, you know, this week, next week, and, or the following, just to make sure you're doing that. The other thing, and I haven't passed this by my wife yet, so we'll see what she says, but
the big announcement.
Yeah. The big announcement I had on, oh boy, I wish I would have looked it up. On episode number, I think it was 8, I had Sarah Vogt on, and she talked about her and her husband, Brandon. They, at New Year's or right around New Year's, they sit down with each other and they talk about, you know, what were our goals and what are our goals moving forward? Because goals are always changing, and they talk about it as a family. You know, what are our family goals? What are our business goals, financial goals? And they talk about, you know, where are we going moving forward and what's that going to look like? And I think that would be really cool. So I'm planning on saying to my wife, Tracy, we're going to sit down and we're going to go through that. And we're just going to talk about, you know, where do we want to go? What's 2018 going to look like? And, And what do we want for our kids? What do we want for ourselves? So again, I challenge people to do that as well. If they have a husband, wife, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it might be, you know, or, you know, whatever loved ones that they want to sit down with and talk about that with. So,
yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, ultimately, it's our close family that that we really care about, that we that we're living for, and it's important to include them in those discussions, and then also just to have those discussions. Period.
Right. Absolutely. But,
you know, as you're talking about it, I was thinking even our kids to either include them or just fill them in on what the decisions were, so that they can kind of begin to think forwardly and know that, you know, we're kind of here for a reason and we're living on purpose type of thing.
Yeah, so, I think that's a great idea, John. And you don't, those can, those are two different conversations,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
With your, you know, or with your wife or husband, you know, you're going to have a lot more deep conversation. You're going to have a lot more sophisticated thought process. But even with your kids, you know, sit down and say, hey, you know, what are we looking forward to in 2018? What are we going to do? And kind of, you're going to have to lead them depending on the age they are. You know, my kids are 8 and 4. You know, my 4-year-old is going to want to play with Transformers and, you know, bang a stick against the wall. But my 8-year-old, she's going to have a little bit more to be able to say, and she's going to probably think about it a little bit more, but we're going to have to definitely lead her and to try to help her to think about it, because she's too young to really articulate. So yeah, I think that's a cool thing to do. Definitely. So cool. Well, with that, again, I would challenge everybody to really reflect on the 2017, and then really think about 2018, what's coming up. And again, like John said, include your whole family, include your kids, and if you have kids, and include whatever, your business partner. If you have a business partner, you should be doing the same thing with. So,
yep. Absolutely. So, Todd, can you tell us right now what's either one really big success for this past year, or maybe a failure?
There's so much right now that I'm just so grateful for. And I actually did this just recently, wrote down for my business, and then I'm starting to write down for my relationships. And there's just so much to be thankful for. So 2017 has been just a wonderful year, and I feel blessed, definitely. I'd say, you know, maybe, I don't know that I measure whether I have big accomplishments or not, because I think every accomplishment is a great accomplishment, right? We should be proud of every accomplishment, and we should think and reflect on how it's making us better. And they all kind of snowball, right? So a little accomplishment turns into a big accomplishment if you keep that momentum moving forward. And so I don't want to singly say this is the greatest thing, but one of the things that sticks out in my mind is that I was able to, you know, do a syndication. And, you know, so that was cool. You know, being able to close on a bunch of multifamilies, that was cool. There's just so much, I guess. Maybe the coolest thing is being able to start this podcast and being a part of some other really great podcasts. You know, I was on the best real estate investing advice ever, Joe Fairless. I was on Rod Kleef's podcast. I was on John Kasman's podcast. I had several podcasts that were really just, it was a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to be a part of. And then starting this podcast and having you be a part of it. And so it's just been great.
Cool.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I guess I would agree with you that it's not always the big things that we want to focus on. So some of the little details, you know, I switched brokerages this past year. It just felt like in order to grow, I needed to be with a different company.
Yeah.
And one like really small detail about that is that right now I'm in my own office, my own separated space. And for me, like mentally, just to like get and do phone calls or stay focused on what I'm doing, it's really important for me to just be separated.
Yeah.
Whereas in, in the previous location I was at, you know, I shared the space with several other people and there's always other conversations going on. And you always felt like you had to have a little commentary about somebody else's phone call or your phone call with them.
And you're hearing it too.
Yeah.
No matter how good at concentrating, you know, you're always hearing that when somebody comes up to you, "Hey John, how's it going?" And you're like, "I'm concentrating, you know, stop talking to me." I love talking to people, but I love also concentrating. If I can't concentrate, I can't get things done.
Yeah. So, I think that was a big step for me.
That's cool. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. It's funny that you say that, cause I think this trend of this open office space is really cool, but I think it's to me, I think it's a trend. I don't know. Maybe it's going to stick, but I just don't see it being a positive for most companies. You know, there's some atmospheres where it might be okay, where you're really working as a team, but I just see too many distractions otherwise that I don't think people are going to be productive at all.
It's funny. I had tried to start up one of those. I won't go into it now, but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
It can be good and bad, you know?
Right. Yeah. So you mentioned training our kids. Let's talk a little bit about that. Cause I like that a lot. One of the reasons I'm doing this podcast is to have this as a platform to try to, you know, to eventually I want to get more into the schools and try to affect the schools in a positive way to be able to bring in financial education, not only financial education, but just a different kind of mindset into the school and schools and into young people. Cause I think that's one of the biggest things that young people are missing, especially in schools and outside of schools as well. I've been involved in an organization called Junior Achievement and that's been pretty fun. I've got an event I'm doing with them in February, probably another couple events I'll end up doing in January as well. But you go into a school and you talk about, you know, what you're doing, really. It's as pretty much as simple as that. You're telling the kids what their options are and you're trying to motivate them to think about stuff outside of the box, not just about becoming, you know, somebody else's employee, about them actually hiring employees, you know, and running a business and how can they be successful doing that? Just kind of opening their eyes to thinking differently and thinking about, and you could talk a lot. I mean, you can really spin it however you want. And then they also, you know, do a lot with business, with finances, that kind of stuff. So there's other volunteering opportunities as well, where you're part of different kind of modules that they do with the kids. So that's been fun. But yeah, I think, you know, as you mentioned, how that's important to get our kids to start thinking that way. And, my wife read a book, by what's that guy that doesn't like debt?
Dave Ramsey.
So my wife read a book written by Dave Ramsey's daughter, and I can't remember the name of the book. I wish I could. I'll see if it's on my bookshelf somewhere. There it is. Smart Money, Smart Kid, I think it's called. I can't, the last part's cut off, but I think it's called Smart Money, Smart Kid. She read that and we actually there was a lot of good things. So I actually would suggest that book. I'm not a Dave Ramsey a fan necessarily, but I think there was a ton of great things about that book. And we've been implementing stuff. So with that, like our kids, they have their own chores, right? They have to clean their room. They have to do certain things. They have to make their beds. They have to, you know, brush their hair, you know, do certain things. They're responsible for that. And they don't get paid. right? But then they have other things that they can do. So we have like my daughter, she's, like I said, she's 8. So she's got a list of, I think, like 7 things she can do. And once she does those things, then she gets paid at the end of the week. She gets paid $5. And you could do $1, you could do $3, you could do $10, you could do whatever you wanted. She gets paid $5 at the end of the week if she completes them all. If she doesn't, she doesn't get paid, right? But then with that $5, she has $2 that go into a spend account, $2 that go into a save account, and $1 that goes into a give account. And we make her take the give, $1 out of the give account every Sunday. We go to church. She gives $1 into the offering, and then she has to save the $2, and she can spend the other two. She wants to open up her own business, so she's been saving everything. She wants to open up a candy shop.
Wow.
So that's her big goal. So she's been saving pretty much everything. She doesn't spend very much. But and then for my son, it's a little simpler because he's only 4, so, you know, he feeds the dog and, you know, waters some plants and some stuff like that. But, and he gets paid $3, right, if he does all that. And we don't separate that because he doesn't quite get it. It just goes into a bucket. But then he actually does take out of that bucket every Sunday, takes $1 out, and he gives that. So I guess we kind of separate it with him, but it's a lot simpler with him. But that was one of the biggest things we took away from it. I've actually got Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book called Rich Kid, Smart Kid, and I have not read it yet, so I can't really talk about it. If it's good or bad, I don't know. But that's another book I plan on reading here once I get through like another 20 other books that I really want to read first. Right. But I got to read it soon because, you know, your kids grow up really quick. And if you're not talking about money with your kids, talking about that, how to be financially responsible, it's going to slip away. So what are your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I've heard of the strategy of having kind of 3 different buckets or jars or whatever you might use. And we went through the process as far as setting it up. We used like some empty Gatorade bottles and put them, kind of tied them together, and then cut slots in each of them and labeled them. And then, of course, the 2-year-old destroyed them. So we haven't held firm to it, but we've tried to implement it. And maybe that's kind of a goal we can have going forward is get back to it, because we definitely want our kids to be thinking about in all those different categories. Definitely want them to be giving back. Definitely want them to be saving. And of course, they want to be spending. So, definitely like that strategy. So,
yeah, but it, you know, you just said they like to spend, right? And that's a great thing, a lesson to be able to teach them is, well, you only have this amount of money. So if you spend it right now, then next week you're back to zero and you only have this amount of money. But if you want something bigger, something better, you can save that money for another couple of weeks, and now you can buy, you know, this monster truck or whatever that is that they maybe want to buy. And again, if you put it in those other buckets, well, you're forcing them to save, you know, $2 out of $5, and you're forcing them to give $1 out of the $5. So you're still, you know, they're not spending necessarily every dollar they're getting. So I think that's a good thing to separate them, especially, you know, for the younger kids. Like I said, they don't get it. You know, they're not going to. They don't get what's going on. But I think by the time they're like 7, 8, they start to kind of, they can grasp stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's really important to talk to our kids about what, you know, what is money. I mean, for me growing up, I love my parents. They did a fantastic job with my brothers and sisters and all of us. So but we didn't really talk a lot about money. Now, one of the good things that my parents instilled in me is they were frugal. I mean, they were super frugal. You know, my dad worked full time, worked his butt off, but didn't make a ton of money by any stretch of the imagination. You know, he had a good 9-to-5 type job. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She did some daycare. She worked part-time here and there. But they had 6 kids. And so they had to be frugal. So that was probably the biggest thing that they passed on to at least to me, is what I caught on, is like, you don't spend money on stuff. You just don't need it. And so that was definitely something that they passed on. But we didn't learn how to properly invest. We didn't learn how to take risk. We didn't, you know, and good or bad, that's another thing that I would say they passed on, is I'm really conservative. I don't take big risks. You know, I think sometimes that's a really good thing. Other times it's like, well, you maybe should take some risks. I think trying to be aware of it. And I don't think my parents weren't really like, they weren't, not that they were oblivious, but they weren't purposefully talking and teaching about money and what to do with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably both of our upbringings are somewhat similar. My parents didn't talk too much about money, or if they did, I didn't quite grasp it.
Yeah.
I remember that at one point my dad told me that he didn't want to tell us how much he made because he didn't want us to go around and brag about it. And we never felt like we were rich by any means. We're middle class, or, you know, we always had what we needed. We never felt like we were really rich. But I think, you know, knowing kind of how much you need to make in order to live at a certain level is kind of an interesting concept to know, because if you don't kind of have that as a baseline, you might not realize what you should be shooting for in order to have the lifestyle that you maybe need or want.
Well, and understanding too, not only how much you need to make, but how much can you spend with what you make. And and then setting your, I think the biggest thing that's missing for most people is most people understand I need to make as much money as I can, right? I want to make money, right? So that's easy. Not, you know, they don't necessarily know how to make money, other than a job, right? But that's, you're not going to make a ton of money with most jobs, right? Most people know that they need to spend less money than what they make, right? They get that. They don't necessarily follow it, but they get that. But
if you didn't know that, know it now. Spend less than you make.
Glad I taught you something today. but understanding, you know, how to invest that money and what to put away, I think is a really important thing that most people miss. You know, most people hear the put your money in, you know, 401k and it'll take care of you. And that's it. That's all you need to do. Put your money in the 401k. It'll take care of you. You'll retire when you're at the ripe old age of, you know, 97, and you'll live the last 3 years of your life fabulous. You know? But, you know, if you truly want to, I mean, I don't think, I would be surprised unless you had a really good job that if you put money in your 401k, you'd be able to live at the same or better lifestyle than, you know, you had previously once you retire, if you retire at whatever, 65. I don't know. Is that retirement age? I don't know. I don't pay any attention because I'll never retire. But, but I think, you know, people always want to downsize when they retire. But why? Why would you want to downsize? To me, when you retire, don't you want to live better than what you're, to me, you got more time. Why not do more things?
Sure.
You know, so if you've got more time, why not enjoy life even more? So if you can figure out how to invest properly and how to make your money grow, well, now you'll be able to actually do stuff when you retire, right? And you'll be able to go on vacations, go on trips, do whatever you love to do. You'll be able to do that instead of, you know, being stuck on at the home playing cribbage and Parcheesi, which are fun games, by the way.
So what age do you think that your kids will start to grasp, you know, beyond these three? You know, we've talked about the three buckets. Yeah. So at what age do you think you kind of add to that and some more layers?
Yeah, I think it depends on when you start, right? So So with my 4-year-old, we started when he was four, pretty much right when he was four. So I think he'll grasp it potentially a little earlier than my daughter, which we started pretty much right when she turned eight. So we've just, you know, we've been doing this now for most of 2017. So they'll grasp it because we're doing it. If you start it later, obviously they'll grasp it later, but I would say you start adding layers. And again, Dave Ramsey's book, or his daughter's book, they lay it out like, this is when you can introduce this. This is when you can introduce this. But I would say, you know, my daughter's eight. By the time she's 10, we can add a little bit more sophistication. Once she's 12, we can add even more sophistication. Once she's, you know, 14, 15, we can really start adding sophistication to it. You know, by the time she's close to being graduated, we can be as sophisticated as you want to be if you've been doing that diligently. So by the time she leaves the house and goes off to college or whatever she does, she should have a really good base and understanding of, you know, what she needs to do.
Yeah. So I'm sure we should all go and read that book, because many of us probably don't even know those layers to add on.
Yeah.
You know, many adults are still learning those themselves.
Yeah. So. And I think it's a book you read every, you know, year or two.
At least
until you really grasp it, because mm-hmm. you always want to be evolving with your kid instead of just slapping them this one program and never thinking about it again. And then they're 18, you got three buckets for them when they're 18. That's all you're doing. That didn't teach them much. It taught them just pretty minor. But if you're continuing to read that book or other books like Rich Kid, Smart Kid with Robert Kiyosaki and stuff like that, I think you'll do a good job. So, yeah. I think it's important. I really do. And unfortunately, parents don't know how to do it. And that's why I want to get it into the schools. That's why I want to get other programs to where kids can actually learn it, is because a lot of parents don't know it. I mean, how do you teach somebody about money if you have no freaking clue how to do it yourself, right? That's tough. Reading a book is helpful, but if you've got no clue yourself, how do you do it? And so, unfortunately, it's the wealthy that teach their kids about money, and their kids then know how to be wealthy. So what I want is the kids that aren't wealthy, the parents that aren't wealthy, to be able to learn about money and them to be able to understand it. And so everybody's got an equal playing field. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is an equal playing field for people. So, all right. So, well, let's move on. I think we've beat that pretty good. anything else you want to talk about? We mentioned crowdfunding. You want to mention?
Yeah, anything? Just briefly. I know you've sent out a kind of an announcement that you have started locally here in Minnesota, a crowdfunding platform. So, yeah. And maybe not even, many people in Minnesota kind of really understand that, because right. It's pretty new in the state here.
Yep.
So you should touch briefly on how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started a crowdfunding platform for real estate specific. So there's already one platform that's out there called Yellowcone Prairie. And anybody in Minnesota can invest in startup companies or whatever's being offered. I think right now there's a startup that's going on, that a tech startup that where you can look and find out where the, you know, good mechanic is, and they'll give you an estimate prior to actually going to the mechanic, so you can get three or four estimates right on your phone. There's a restaurant. I don't know if that's closed or not, but there's a restaurant that's on there, and then there's like a brewery or two on there. But there hasn't been any Minnesota crowdfunding in real estate specific. And I don't think even with some of the national brands there has been. So now crowdfunding in 2000, I think it was 2017 or maybe into 2016, but it hasn't been for very long, is where non-accredited investors now can invest in a crowdfund if it's in Minnesota or if the company's in Minnesota. So what we are doing is starting a real estate crowdfunding platform. And by we, it's an attorney, Zach Robbins, who's actually the kind of the founder of this MinVest, which pushed the whole crowdfunding through.
right? And then David Ducini is the other guy. He's a techie. And so he's like a computer whiz. He's got everything set up, so it's just like automatic. So we, as the investor, as a sponsor, we don't have to think about sending out K-1s. We don't have to think about that as much communication. I mean, obviously, we have to communicate with our investors, but it's more, you know, just automatic, right? We push a button and it's done. So he's got all that kind of stuff down. So, so a non-accredited investor can invest. They can invest up to $10,000. That's the bad limitation. But if your husband can invest 10 grand, wife can invest 10 grand, right? So you could truly invest 20 grand. You could probably give your kids a gift of $10,000 and your kid could invest too.
Is there a minimum too?
Yeah, but that's depending on the deal, right? And depending on the sponsor. So the sponsor could say, I want $1,000 minimum. The sponsor could say, I want a $10,000 minimum. Of course, if they go over $10,000, then it's only accredited investors. Because accredited investors can still invest, you know, $500,000 or $100,000 or whatever the accredited wants to. So yeah, it's for real estate specific. And, you know, I'm excited. We've talked to a few people about putting something on. I talked to a person yesterday about putting one of their deals on it. And so we'll see what happens. I think it's a cool, it's a really exciting thing to me to be able to get the have-nots involved in something that the haves have always been able to be involved in.
Yeah, I really like that concept. So for this platform that's based in Minnesota, do both the deals and the investors have to be in Minnesota, or one or the other? Or
right. So the investor has to be in Minnesota. The deal doesn't necessarily have to be in Minnesota, but the LLC has to be a Minnesota-based LLC. So there's, you know, there's a little bit. I think the most successful deals will be the ones that are based in Minnesota, because you're trying to advertise, you're trying to get people to invest in your deals. If they can go see it, I think it'll be a lot more successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, especially because you're trying to get non-accredited investors. I mean, you're going to get some of those people. So they're not as sophisticated, definitely, as some of the accredited investors.
So if somebody wants to fund something like their earnest money or whole purchase price, whatever it might be, do they have to go through an attorney to set up all the offering details and such?
Yep. So they can use Zach, right? Okay. So he's got, he's trying to beat his fees down as much as he can by getting everything more templated, but of course everything's still going to be based on the deal. So he can't just completely template it. But he's trying to get his fees, but you don't have to use Zach. I mean, you could use, you know, your own securities attorney. But we still have, and then we vet the deal to make sure it's a decent deal, so our investors aren't getting burned on something junky that is just put out there. We look at the LLC docs if Zach is not the one doing it. So we make sure the person's, again, the people are protected. So
cool. So obviously this is pretty new, but what would you say somebody should expect a turnaround time? I don't know, maybe they have to raise $100,000. And of course, probably based on what contacts do they have that they can send to the platform. But
yep.
Is it?
So the most successful ones, John, are going to be the ones, the investors that of course have a track record, right? So if you're a sponsor and you're bringing a deal to us, you need to have some sort of track record, or somebody in that deal needs to have a track record. Your property manager needs to have a strong track record. Somebody needs to have, you need to have a strong track record. You also need to have a good enough deal for us to say yes. But then beyond that, if you don't have your own network that's going to invest in it, you're going to have a really tough time raising any money. So like one of the deals I talked to a guy yesterday, they need to raise about $3.2 million total. And they've got already raised or verbally committed, they've got about $2.2 million verbally committed. So they only have $1 million left, which is a lot of money still, but that's their own network. They've already raised $2.2 million. It's going to be a lot easier for them than to come in and raise the remaining amount of money to get this deal done, right? And especially if they've got a few other leads or feelers of people that maybe could put some more, even more money into it, then they're going to, you know, I think be really successful. As far as timeline, it's really hard to say 100% right now how long it'll take because this is really new, right? So the first ones are going to take the longest amount of time. So the best types of deals would be, hey, we own this piece of property already. And we're going to develop, but we've got a lot of time, right? Because developments don't happen overnight. So that would be a great, you know, type of opportunity is where we've got 6 months or you know, 4 months at least. Or I already own this property, but I'd like to send it to the crowd and maybe step back my ownership a little bit to be able to invest in other properties. So if you got like, let's say a 100-unit apartment building and it's just you that owns it, or maybe you and a partner or whatever, you've got some equity sitting there. You could then bring that to the crowd and maybe only have, you know, 10, 20% equity still left in or whatever you wanted to do. You'd have to give up some ownership, of course. But that would allow you to free up capital then to go into another deal potentially. And then you could crowdfund that deal too. So, yeah.
That's pretty neat. Do you think, is there going to be some sort of share button, just like kind of a GoFundMe page? You could just, you see those on Facebook and you click on it, you hear the story about whatever that situation is. Is it going to be similar to that at all or?
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, I'm not the techie guy, so I can't tell you everything that he's going to do. But yeah, the idea is to get it to where it's just easy and simple and everybody can hear about it quickly. And of course, if you've got a good deal in a good area, you've got a good network yourself, I think it'll do really well. So
yeah,
I'm excited to go on this venture and see, you know, where it takes us. I think it's a really good thing for non-accredited investors, good opportunity. So yeah, definitely.
Very cool. We're excited to see how it goes.
Yeah. So John, you and I have talked about, I think we should get some of our listeners to actually give us questions. And so if they've got questions that they have specifically for me, specifically for John, or for the both of us, I would love to have them be able to send those. So I think if they go onto the Facebook page, the Pillars of Wealth Creation Facebook page, they can just send us a question. And then every Hump Day Hustle, we can read those questions, any that were sent to us, and we can, you know, talk about those questions as well. So I think that would be fantastic. So anybody wants to do that, go onto our Facebook page and, you know, send us a question that way.
Definitely. And you can,
they could do it on YouTube, right?
Yep. You can comment on YouTube. So make us search out your questions wherever you post them.
Yeah.
So let us know where you're watching or listening to this too. So.
Yeah. And feedback's always welcome. Right. And so if people can, you know, go on to, whatever iTunes or wherever they're at, and you know, give us that 5-star rating review. That'd be fantastic. Subscribe, of course, to our show would be great. And I was just gonna, I think we're gonna start to do this is, see if I could pull it up real quick. We've got ratings and you know, people are giving us comments. And so I was gonna read off kind of one of the most recent reviews that I saw that I really liked. And give them some credit. So this is Nate 826492. Great name, Nate. Calm, prudent, straightforward. Todd's podcast is the best in the business and provides value to all those who listen. I am subscribed and look forward to his weekly wealth of information. Keep him coming. So I appreciate that, Nate, for the feedback and love to hear what everybody else thinks too.
Yep. If you have a 1-star review, just send that to us directly.
Well, true. You know what? Everybody might not love the show. So if you have any suggestions, how can we make this thing better? I'd love to hear it, because that's what I want to do. I mean, that's both of our goals, is to make this thing the best show we could possibly make it. And so everybody gets a ton of information out of it. So
yeah, hopefully people recognize neither one of us are professional, TV stars or whatnot. We're just regular business people and just sharing what's going on, and hopefully everybody can learn from it. So
yeah, trying to provide great content. So that's what it's all about. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up, John, unless you got anything else you want to say.
That's it for now. So,
okay. Well, let's wrap it up. Have a great day, John, and I hope all the listeners have a fantastic day. Remember, every day is a Saturday.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's NORADA realestate.com/guide.